Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kamma Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on Daf Zayin, 14 lines from the bottom. You'll notice it's a bit more than halfway down the page, the beginning of the line, Romi Le Abaye L'Rava. Abaye raises a problem, a contradiction, if you will, to Rava. The word Romi indicates a question where two scriptural sources in this case, seem to confront one another. Ksiv, on the one hand, the Pasuk says, Meitav Sodehu, Umeitav Karmo Yishalem, that payment for damages is in terms of top quality land or a vineyard. Meitav in, Midi, Achrina, Lo. Meitav would be top quality land or possibly cash, a cash payment, but nothing else. V'ha Tanya, on the other hand, we have a source, opens with a quote from the Pasuk, Yoshiv. The word Yoshiv is from the Pasuk. The rabbis shove kesef afilu subin. This comes to include as a means of restitution something of money equivalent, even if it happens to be subin. Subin would be something like wheat bran. Subin being something of a very little importance in terms of wheat production. You produce wheat, you thresh the wheat, and you produce from it the flour. The subin is viewed as the waste product. It has market value, but it's not a high-quality item. And hence, this source would seem to contradict the previous citation, Meitav, which means payment must be made from top-quality land or cash. So we have this seeming contradiction. The diamond marking that you see is featured on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei / Mivneh, no, say topic heading, Mivneh structural note. This marking, and I want to point out that we're going to find here and on Amud Beis, we'll be numbering up to 4. There's a fifth diamond that represents a fifth resolution on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. It would appear to be out of place in that sense, but there's an explanation offered in Rashi as to why the fifth answer appears so far away, so disjointed from the list of 4. But that having been said, our note on the side reads, Chuvos, these are resolutions, answers, Liashiv Stira, Binyan Tashlumen, to resolve the seeming contradiction regarding payment. Meitav Mashma, Shemeshamim, Lenizik Dafgami Meitav. The word Meitav indicates that you would pay the victim of the damage only from top quality stuff, whatever, if you pay top quality land, like we suggested before. Yoshiv, the word Yoshiv, Larabas Afilu Subin, payment can be made with any item that serves as payment, even if it happens to be something as insignificant as Subin. So we go back to the Gemara. Lo Kasha, answer number 1. Kan midaito, kan bal korchoi. Midaito means if the mazik, if the offender is a cooperating individual, he agrees on his own to offer restitution, so then he has the right to pay, even using subin as a means of restitution. Kan bal korchoi, if however the court has to get involved, he is an uncooperative individual, and the court has to exert force, so then he will have to pay from Meitav. Omar Ula Breder of Eloi, Daikon Nami, by careful reading, By precision reading, you can discover this. Tichtiv, it says regarding Meitav Yishalem, which the thinking at this moment is Baal Korcho, that the verb form Yishalem indicates by force. And that's associated with Meitav. Question, or here the Gemara rejects that. Amar le Abaye. Abaye challenges Ula and says, Miksiv Yishulam. The more accurate form, verb form, that would indicate against his will would be if the Pasuk had said Yishulam. Yishalem Ksiv, the Pasuk says Yishalem, which really means Midaito Mashma, that he is willing to pay, and yet, even though he is willing, the payment must be in terms of Meitav. So with this observation of Abaye, we challenge the first answer. You'll notice, by way of our markings, Baal Korcho was dashed, underlined above. And above that, we had written Meitav. So that Meitav in the first answer was associated with payment where the court has to gets involved and forces him to make the restitution. According to Abaye, not so. And notice we dashed on the line here the word Midaito, featuring Meitav above that. So that Meitav is not associated with Baal Korcho, but something that he does willingly. Elo Omar Abaye, Kidemor. So Abaye says the resolution is based on Rabbah. Now here we have a very interesting, almost a unique situation, where Rabbah, that Abaye is quoting, is not coming to resolve this particular issue. Rabbah describes an area of halacha that's totally unrelated to our issue of damages. Rabbah deals with, we'll say, fluctuating price in properties as regards halachas that have relevance to tithes that are given to the poor. Tithes that are given to the poor include leket, shikhon, peah, meiser oni, different tithes, without getting into the details. Rabbah, in that, we'll say, outside topic, unrelated topic, introduces the analysis of property price fluctuation as a result of seasonal influence. What Abaye says, we're going to take Rabbah's analysis concerning the tithes to the poor and borrow or adopt that analysis and superimpose it upon the issue of restitution for damage. That at this point might sound a bit abstract, and we understand that. We'll wait for the actual application for it to make sense. However, structurally, what we want to note is we have right now a long bracketed section. Do note, by the way, that we have two long markings. One is the marking indicating the length of the brackets. The other is the number two, which is a second answer that takes the Gemara quite a while to develop, including the bracketed section. And if you skip the brackets for a moment, Abaye says that the resolution of the Yoshiv versus Meitav is based on Rabbah. And if you skip the brackets, that takes you to the upper part of Omit Beis. You see it says Gabi Nezikin regarding damage payment, Dine Be'idis, Ve'i Omer Le'ihu Havli Beinunis Tfei Porta, and if the victim of the damage says, give me a little bit more in Beinunis terms, so the Mazik can, we'll say, call the shots, and he says, I Shaklis Kedinoch Shekel Kedahashto, Ve'lo Shkol Kiyukro Delekame. At this point, all that we want to highlight are the words Hashto and Yukro Delekame. Hashto means current season rates, and Yukro Delekame means value in high season. So what Abaye does is that the use of Meitav versus Subin is in terms of current low property rates and high property rates later on. There's a Rashi. I know that we're reading this a little bit prematurely, but there's value in it all the same. The Rashi on Omid Beis, in the upper part of the narrow lines, V'hocha nami gabi nezikin, nami b'hochi metar tzukroi. With this analysis, we'll be able to resolve the Meitav Subin contradiction. Kegon de b'yom nisan yakra arasa, in the Nisan season, the properties are expensive, are high priced. U'b'yom Tishrei, the same property in Tishrei. You see, Nisan is the spring season, Tishrei is the autumn season. In the Yom Tishrei, Zoil, property rates fall. There's a cyclical fluctuation in property rates. V'hizik b'Tishrei shavimona. And the damage was committed in Tishrei. We'll say a mona is an amount of money, $100 worth of damage, as a mere example. And the victim wants to collect $100 worth of property from the land of the offender. And the letter of the law says he can take top quality land. Now, top quality land at the low rate means he's going to get more than he would in the high season. So the Gemara then says that the Mazik can call the shots. And how does that operate? We'll wait till we get to the Gemara then and go over this point. We'll go over it, and we have to make sure that it's clear what we are trying to achieve. And that is a resolution between the issue of Meitav versus Subin. The note on the side, introducing the bracketed section, says, Sograyim l'shem diluk, as we just did. These brackets are for skipping purposes. We just did the skip to show how Abaye gets directly to the issue of Nezikin, restitution, with the awareness that we have to resolve Subin versus Meitav. But Soicha Sograim, our note continues, within the brackets, Muva Dino Shel Rabba, Rabba's law is introduced, She'olov Abaye Mevasis his Chuvaso, upon which Abaye bases his answer, his resolution. She'mofi Achrei Sograim, Abaye will appear, as we just demonstrated, after the brackets. At this point, we're going to give just a brief overview of the approach of the Gemara, the flow of the Gemara, until the latter third, the last third of Omid Beis. Abaye, b'tshuva shniya shel ha-Gemara, Abaye, within the second answer, the second diamond of the Gemara, Yitzayin is Dino Shiraba, but Dine Peya will make reference to Rabba's din, which has immediate application to the laws of Peya. Peya is one of the tithes, the corner of one's field that one is expected to leave unharvested for the poor to take. Peya is just a catchphrase for our purposes of Matnos Aniyim, the tithes, gifts given to the poor. And the principle that appears in the case of the tithes to the poor will then be adapted to the rules of restitution for damage. On Omid Beis, the Gemara will reject this comparison, this attempt of Abaye, umemela nidchet shuvas Abaye liyashiv astira. With Rav Acha's objection, Abaye's resolution will then be rejected. So once Abaye's resolution is rejected, we're going to note that there's another bracketed section on Omid Beis. If you like, you can scroll ahead or turn the page to you see there's a second long bracketed section. Our note continues, says, Acharei ha-sogram ha-shnei b'omid beis, yofiu oid shnei tshuvas. After the bracketed section, on Omid Beis, it will be two more answers. We say two more answers, bearing in mind that there's an additional answer, a third answer on Daf Tes Omid Beis, Daf Tes Omid Aleph, but on, as far as Omid Beis is concerned, two more diamonds will appear. L'yashiv Astira, to resolve the contradiction between Meitav versus Subin. B'socha Sograyim Omid Beis, within that bracketed section on Omid Beis, you nisyonos, which are featured with double underlines, l'damos dinos shel rabo l'noisim acherim, to nevertheless capitalize on Rabo's analysis and apply it to other topics. Once again, as is usually the case with introductions, introductions are somewhat vague, because you haven't actually experienced the subject matter yet. Nevertheless, we're giving you an overview of the entire sugya till the last third of Zion Omid Beis. We turn back to our Gemara, where we start a bracketed section. Abaye is giving his answer to Meitav versus Subin, and he does so by adapting an analysis of Rabo in the case of Matnas Aniyim to tort restitution. What is the background that Abaye is building his answer upon? So let's continue now in the bracketed section. Disanya. Hareisho yu lo botim sodas ukromim. There's a man that has properties, he has houses, fields, vineyards, and they're worth 200 zuz. 200 zuz is the cutoff point at which we say that a person who he's worth 200 zuz, he's not entitled to the tithes of the poor. So we have a man that's got property worth 200 zuz, the eino moitzei lemoichron, and he needs cash for his daily needs, but he doesn't have anyone to sell his properties to. So he's really, in a certain sense, he's quite impoverished. He doesn't have any cash. Machilin oisoi maisir oni ad mechza. We entitle him to take maisir oni, the tithe given to the poor, ad mechza, up till a half. Half of what? We can tell you now, a half is a reference to he'll be given Meister Oni up till 100 zuz. This is in contrast to a standard impoverished individual that chances upon a field or meets up with a homeowner, a field owner that's dispersing his tithes. If a person is worth less than 200 zuz, he can, at one shot, take even 1,000 zuz worth of produce. But here we're not dealing with a person who's worth less than 200 zuz. He is worth 200 zuz, but he's got this problem that he doesn't have anyone, doesn't have any buyers for his properties. What's he supposed to do? So we have a special a contingency for cases like this and that, and in entitling him to take 100 zuz of the tithe of the poor. Bahavi bo more. Havi is an expression indicating a question, and more here is literally the master. It's Abaye's reference to Rabba. Abaye is referring to Rabba and says, and Rabba asked, heichi domi, what are the circumstances within this source? E huzal arasa de kuliyama over the day nami zolba dayu. If it's describing a situation where everyone's properties fell in value, including this individual's, so that this individual cannot be described as being worth 200 zuz, there's been a fall in value, property values across the boards. Afilu tuva nami lisfile dozol de kuliyama nami. He should be entitled to receive as a tithe from the poor man's tithe. Lisfule, that's tuvanami. Tuvanami means more. Lisfule, feed him even more, because he, along with everyone else, has experienced property value decrease, and he right now is not worth 200 tzuz. Ella, the oikir arasa de kule alma. Rather, maybe the situation is that property values of everyone are oikir literally means expensive, meaning there is no value drop in properties. Everyone's property value has maintained its high value. V'didei, but our subject, him, this guy that we're featuring in the source, Aididai v'nofik azuzi zolare, his property hasn't dropped in actual value. But since the public sees him scurrying around for funds, trying to dig up some cash, people take advantage of him, and people like him, and they say, oh, you're so hard pressed for money, so they offer him less than the actual going rate. In other words, the same person, if he wasn't Ayil Vinufik, going in and going out, into people's houses, out of people's houses, finding, trying to get money, so his property would have been worth the standard high rate. But as we said, people take advantage of those in hard luck situations, and therefore zol are. Let's read that phrase again. I did the Ayil Vinufik Azuzi zol are. But this guy, since he is going in and going out, seeking money, scurrying around for funds, zol, cheapened, are his properties. His properties have become worth less. Well, if that's the case, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Afilu Purta Nami Lodis Fule. He shouldn't be entitled to anything. Even Purta means even less than the 100 zuz, meaning nothing. He, basically, this person, from an objective standpoint, has property worth 200 zuz. The fact that he's bringing upon himself this loss in value, that's not our problem. And hence, we are not going to entitle him to even less than 100 zuz of the matnos aniyim, the tithes of that are designated for the real poor. What are we to do then with our Tanaic source? V'yomar mor alo, mor, once again, is Rabbo. Rabbo said concerning this, concerning the source, he says, lo, tzricha, what it is necessary to teach about someone who's legitimately entitled to the 100 zuz of matnas aniyim in the following fashion. De b'yoyma nisan yakra arasop, u'b'yoyma tishri zol arasop. During the Nisan spring season, property values rise. Why? Yakra means expensive, means their property value rises, because a person who buys property in the spring season will have enough time to plow it up and ready it for planting. So the planting season is in Tishrei, assuming that he was able to plow it before. So if you buy it property in Nisan, you're going to be able to get an additional crop, having plowed it up during the summer months and planting it in Tishrei, in the autumn season. If a person is going to buy property in Tishrei, it's known that he's going to have to wait. He's going to have to wait practically a year before he can plant the property. Why? Because if he's buying it in Tishrei, he didn't have the benefit of plowing up the land prior to the planting season. So, the value of property to people is worth that much less. And with that in mind, the kule alma natriad nisan umezavni. People will not sell property until Nisan, when they can fetch a higher price. The high, and the fellow featured in our Tanaic source, Hayo Vitzricha Le Zuzi, since he needs money, he doesn't have any cash, he's got these properties, that Zovin Kidahashta, he'll sell it now at the current low rate. Now, the current low rate is such that it's not worth 200 zuz. Ad palga urchi lemezel, until a decrease of 50%, a person will sell. In other words, he has properties that in Nissan would be worth 200 zuz. We expect of people to offer a discount because of the fact that it's the Tishrei season. So people will discount their properties. Palga. Pal means half. So if it was worth 200, he'll sell it for 100. Tvei lav urchi lemezal. But more than that, to discount properties, people cannot be expected to do so. Therefore, because this individual is, we'll say, he's not here nor there, he's not a truly impoverished individual, because he has property that in the high season, he can get 200 for it. On the other hand, he doesn't have 200 zuz worth of equity right now, because if he were to sell it now, he's not going to fetch the full 200 for his properties. Therefore, we say he is entitled to receive 100 zuz worth of matnas aniyim. V'hocho nami, and here too, gabi nezikin, dinei beidis. The victim of damage is entitled to collect, if he's collecting land, top quality land. V'omaleihu, and if our victim, the nizak, says, havli beinonis tfei porta. Beinonis is middle quality land. We've discussed this in our previous shiurim, so this is nothing new. And he demands from the offender, from the damager, middle quality land. So instead of high quality land, let us say, high quality land, $100 of high quality land will get you 1 acre. $100 of middle quality land will get you 1.5 acres. So he says, listen, give me 1.5 acres of beinonis, of middle quality land. And the mazik, the offender who owes the money, says in response, in shaklis kedinoch shkoil kidahashta. If you take what is coming to you, namely Meitav, so take it at the current rates. We'll give a concrete example of this in a minute, but just to get through the translation, the Mazik continues and says, V'i lo, and if you don't take the Meitav at current rates, and you want Beinonis, then shkoil keyukra delekamei. Then take beinonis, but at the high season value, namely later on. We look at Rashi. Across from here, Rashi ve'i omarle nizak. If the nizak says havli beinonis kidahashta tvei porto mimai debois lemesiv li beidis, the victim says, instead of giving me high quality land, give me a little more in acreage of middle quality land. Of course, all of these land payments are in terms of the value of the damage. So, lo motzi lemichve, the victim, according to Abaye and his explanation of the sugya, the victim cannot force the offender. El omer le-mazik. The mazik has the upper hand and says, Ishaklis be'idis ki dinoch shkol ki hashta. If you take idis, which is what you have coming to you, top quality land, you can take it at the current market value. Now, the current market value, being that it's the low season, will entitle him to a greater amount of edis than in the high value season. The elo, and if you don't take the edis that I'm offering you, shkoil mi beinanis, then okay, you can take middle quality land, ki yukro de lekame, in accordance with its high value in Nisan. Ulahachi osi yoshiv l'rabois subin. Here, the word yoshiv from the pasuk comes to include subin. What is the application of subin to our answer? Diboy l'mishkal nizak subin. If the nizak, the victim, wants to collect subin, kagon shieshlo karka samachloisa beinin shomazik, the nicholeba, for some reason, the victim wants the subin, the poor quality property. Subin being a borrowed expression and applied to property. Because subin literally is bran. But bran relative to flour is poor quality. So if the victim wants the poor quality, now you'll say, why would someone want poor quality land? The answer is, as Rashi says, this victim already owns property in that area where the mazik happens to have beinunis. And it's convenient for people to have one contiguous piece of property, making it more cost-effective in maintaining it and plowing it, etc. So the victim is interested in having the beinunis of the mazik, which is right next to his own, the victim's own, land that he already owns. So the word yoshiv is here to tell us that if he wants to take the lower quality land, shokil lo kiyukur de lekame, the victim can receive it, but he's going to be receiving acreage-wise less, because he's going to be receiving it in terms of the high season value that is later on. Daha shove kesef ubenisan. It's worth the amount of the damage when you get to Nisan. Ulahachi itzrich abaye lukma bachi kramor the soifa liakir benisan. And Abai has to set up his answer with this in mind, with the future rise in property, the seasonal rise. Mishum di e ain soifal yakir krala mayosa. If it's not going to rise in value, what do you need a posik for? Pshita di iboy nizak lemishkal subin shokil. It's obvious that if the victim wants to take poor quality land, he's entitled to demand that. Bal korcha shel mazik shafilu biyidis yofik koicha kol shekein v'beinanis. The Torah entitles the victim to demand high quality land. Certainly, he's entitled to receive lesser quality land. That's if there was no price fluctuation whatsoever. So of course the victim can insist on receiving beinanis. El alachi osakra. The Pasuk comes into the picture to tell us that an advantage is granted to the mazik in that, okay, if you're going to insist on getting beinanis, I'm going to give you less acreage-wise because I'm going to be paying you in terms of the high season value later on. To illustrate this, we have a little diagram, a little chart. We're just pulling random numbers out of the air. $100. $100 is the amount of damage. We're looking in the margin of our Mark Gemaras. We have a little, as I said, a little chart. There are two columns, Tishrei, Nisan. Tishrei, low season. Nisan, high season. Down the side, you see Idis and Beinanis. Top quality land and low quality, middle quality land. $100 in Tishrei, the low value season, will fetch you 2 acres of Edis. Edis. 2 acres in Hebrew, there's a land measure that's called a dunam. Be that as it may, it's for our purposes, we'll just use the term acre. So in Tishrei, the low season, $100, which is the amount that needs to be paid, the amount of the value of the restitution, would be 2 acres of top quality land. And in fact, our Mazik is willing to pay that. He's willing to transfer ownership of 2 acres of high quality land. However, and we can also note that in Nissan, since property values rise, $100 would get you only 1 acre of high quality land. Okay, we're using random numbers in our example. In our story, the victim wants Beinonis. He wants middle quality land. And Rabbi tells us that Yoshiv L'Rabbi's Subin informs us that the Mazik at this point can call the shots. The Mazik can tell the victim, yeah, I know that I owe you $100. I'm willing to give you right now 2 acres of high quality land, but you don't want that. You're insisting on the Beinonis quality of land? Well then, looking at our chart, you're going to then get only 1.5 acres of middle quality land, because in Nissan, $100 will fetch you that amount of middle quality land. In other words, you think that since it's right now the low season and you're asking for just Beinonis as opposed to Idis, that you're going to get the 3 acres that $100 would get you now of middle quality land in low price season. No, sir. I'm willing to give you Beinonis, but only in accordance with the high season rates. 1.5 acres of Beinonis land. That's Abaye's application of Yoshiv, the rabbis is a subin, that the Torah is granting the offender this right to call the shots, as we just described. We continue in the Gemara. Maskif lo Rav Acha Rankiv. You see, we've underlined his name. Rav Acha asks Im Kain if this is true. If this is so, Hayrasa Kaychan Shel Nezikin Eitzel Beinonis Viziburis. You've weakened the power of the victim, the Nezikin, the Nizokin, those that are the Nizokin, or those people that have been damaged, with regard to Beinonis and Ziburis. The Rachmona Omar, the Torah says, Mimeitav, the victim of damage is entitled to collect top quality land. And not only that, but top quality land at current land values. The Al Amris mi Beinonis viziburis nami lo. And you are telling me that from even Beinonis, which is lesser quality, and Ziburis is the lowest quality, that even that he can't get in accordance with current values? So Rav Acha is upset by the fact that we know that the Torah gives the victim a very strong hand. He's given the upper hand, if you will, in terms of what he is entitled to receive as restitution. And if he's entitled to receive as restitution top quality land at current low rates, because the damage took place right now, you are obligated to pay as soon as the damage occurred. So you're paying in terms of the low rate season. So the victims are entitled to get top quality land in accordance with the low rate season, which entitles them to get a greater amount of acreage. And you, Abaye, are saying that when it comes to the lesser quality land, he can't demand that in accordance with the current land values, the current low rate land values. That's against the entire spirit of the Torah with regard to the entitlement that a victim of damage has. Well, that eliminates Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's argument then eliminates Abaye's explanation of what Yoshiv is coming to do. Notice we have a bracketed section. If we skip the brackets for a moment, the Gemara simply reviews and says, Mikol Mokum Kashya. We're nevertheless left with the problem, even though there's an extensive discussion within the brackets of the Gemara, but when after the dust clears, after all is said and done, we're still left with the problem of Yoshiv versus Meitav. So that will lead into answer number 3, Omar Rova, Kol Diyavle, Mimeitav Le Sivle. We'll get to that later. Now that we've demonstrated the Gemara structure, maybe we want to look at our little note as well, the starred note in the margin. Sograim l'shem dilug, the brackets are for skipping purposes. Acharei ha-sograim, after the brackets, ha-gemora tachzor li-yashiv astira. The world will return to resolving the seeming contradiction between Yoshiv, which is l'rabbis ha-subin, versus Meitav. B'soch ha-sograim muvoim oid nisyonish l'hashvois dinoi shel rabo l'dinim achirim. Within the brackets, though, the Gemara attempts to capitalize on Rabbah's insightful analysis by the Matnas Aniyim, and capitalize on it or maximize its application to other areas of law. True, we just said that we can't superimpose Rabbah's analysis on the case of Nezikin. Let's try something else. So in the brackets, Elo Omar Rav Achor Bar Yankiv. Well, he's the one that just objected to Abaye, and he says it's a great shame we can't apply Rabbah's analysis to the case of damage victims. However, if there is what to compare Rabbah's teaching to, Lebal Chov Medaminon Le. Let us compare him, Rabbah's analysis, superimpose Rabbah's analysis to the case of a debtor and creditor. Creditor trying to collect his debts. And now we continue with the with that analysis, and the triangle. We should point out we have a Mivneh heading which we didn't. I don't think we read it earlier, so let's read it in the margin. The triangle you can see is featured, and it says in our note says Nisyonis Lishtamish Bedina Sharabo Eitzel Peo Kibosis Ladina Machirim. These are attempts to use Rabbah's analysis that we saw by Peah, which involved the land value fluctuation, the seasonal cyclical fluctuation, kibosis ladin machem, as a basis for other laws. He'orah. Rak nisayin rishon shayach le'ikus sugyasenu. Only the first triangle had relevance to our Gemara, because what's the purpose of our sugya, our topic? It's Yishuv Hastira Yoshiv versus Meitav. Sharan is Yonis Muvoyim Besoch Hasugram. The other attempts of maximizing Rabbah's halacha in applying it to other areas appear within the brackets. But at this point, there's no relevance to the issue of Yoshiv and Meitav, because Yoshiv, the Rabbah's Asubin, and Meitav are psukim that appear in the context of Nezikin, of damage restitution. Our second triangle, as we already indicated, has to do with payment of loans, paying of debts as a result of borrowing money, not as a result of damages. So Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, who was the one who rejected Abai's analysis, says, here, let's take Rabbo and apply it to the case of payment of debts. The Gemara continues, the triangle. Baal Chov, Dine Bebeinonis. A lender is entitled to receive, if cash is not being paid, he can seize upon middle quality lands of the debtor, of the one who borrowed, of the borrower. Ve'i Omar Leib. if the toveya, if the malve, the lender says, have li ziburis tfei porta, instead of taking from you beinonis quality land, give me acreage wise a little more of poorest quality land. Of course, that that amount of land of ziburis that matches the debt that's owed. Omar lay, the nitba, the one collected from, namely the borrower who has to pay up, says, e shaklis kedinoch shkoil kidahashta. If you take what's coming to you, namely beinonis quality land, so take it in accordance with the current low value land rates. Like we said before, the debt became due in Tishrei, so collect what's coming to you according to current land rates, which would entitle you to a greater amount of acreage of beinonis land than in the high season, high cost season, where the same amount of money will get you less land because the prices have increased. V'i loi, and if not, meaning if you're not going to take beinonis, which is coming to you, and you insist on taking ziburis, shkil kiyuka de lekame, then take, but in accordance with the high season value of the ziburis. As far as numbers are concerned or examples, you can use the chart that we had before. Just instead of mentioning Edis, you would have Beninus and Ziburis. Beninus being worth more than a Ziburis. We continue in the Gemara. Maskif lo Rav Acha Breid Ravika. It's interesting, it's the first same name, it's Rav Acha, but it's a different person. It's the son of Ravika. Here, Rav Acha Breid Ravika challenges Rav Acha Bar Yankiv. Rav Acha Bar Yankiv was the one that challenged Abaye before. So, Rav Acha Breid Ravika says, Im Kain, if that's the way you're going to explain things, if you're going to limit the collection powers of the lender, according to what you said, according to what you, Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, said, the borrower calls the shots. He tells the lender, you know, I appreciate that you loaned me money and all that, but if you're insisting on the low quality land, I'll give it to you, but at the high rates. Well, if that's the way you're going to deal with lenders of money, in Kano Alta Delis Bifnei Lovin, literally, you've locked the door in front of others that want to borrow money. What do we mean by that? The world of money lenders want to have a sense of security in what they're going to get when they're paid back. They don't want to be given they don't want to be put on the short end of the stick. And if you tell us that the borrowers can call the shots, like we said, people are going to be deterred from lending money. As follows, Diomar lei, the malve, the lender will say, Ilu havuli zuzi, havishakli kidahashtav. I would have had cash, meaning, you know, I lent you that money. If I would have kept the money for myself and had the ready cash in my pocket, I would have taken that money and bought ziburis quality land at the low rates as they are right now. Hashto dezuzi gaboch, now that my money is by you, meaning now that I had lent you the money and the debt becomes due now, and that I don't have the cash, my cash is in your pocket. Ashkil kiyuka de la kame. Are you telling me that I'm going to be entitled to take only the ziburis in terms of the high value rates later on, meaning less acreage? That's a total violation of human decency. I did you a favor, and as a result, I don't have the ready cash now, and now I have to take less. So Rav Acha Breid Ravika rejects Rav Acha Bar Yankiv's application of Rabbah's land fluctuation analysis to the case of Baal Choyv. Ah. Elom Ravacho Breder Avika. Iiko Lidmuye. The double underline you can see we've used to highlight the attempt of the Gemara to compare Rabbah's or apply Rabbah's teaching to something else. So here he says, if there is what to parallel or compare or superimpose Rabbah's din upon what? Liksubas Isha Medaminole. Let us superimpose this concept of land value fluctuation to the payment of the woman's ksuba. The ksuba is the financial guarantee a woman receives upon getting married. And in the event of becoming divorced, and let's talk specifically about divorce as opposed to widowhood, but we can apply that to widowhood also, the woman is entitled to receive the cash amount that's documented in the ksuba. So we have now a woman seeking collection of her ksuba. There's a Rashi that we'll look at together right now, fourth line under the Gemara text. Liksubas isha medaminon lo, Rashi says, ukegoin shenosan lo get betishrei. The husband gave the divorce to his wife in Tishrei, vezilu arasei, at a point which property values are low. V'hoysa ksubasa mosayim, and the value of her ksuba is 200 zuz, $200, whatever. Fadina lemigvi miziburis kidemaskina hosamperikanizokin. And letter of the law is that she collects from ziburis quality land. Now, let's go back to the Gemara. We said that we're going to compare Rabbah's din or apply Rabbah's analysis of land value cyclical price fluctuations to the case of Ksubas Isha. Ksubas Isha, we're looking at the triangle Ksubas Isha, Dina Baziburis. The letter of the law says that a woman collects from poor quality land. Ve'i amris le'ihi, if the woman says to the husband, avli beinanis botzir porta, give me middle quality land, a little less in terms of acreage. In other words, as we've said all along, she's entitled to $200 in value. And according to our example, the $200 is simply a random number. So she's entitled to $200 of value. So she says, instead of giving me ziburus greater acreage, give me lesser acreage in beinonis terms. Omar law, the husband says, ishaklis kedinoch shkol kedahashta. If you take ziburus, then take in accordance with the low rates, low land rates of right now. Ve'i lo, and if not, if you're going to insist on the beinonis, fine. However, shakli kiyukro de la kamei, I'll give you beinonis, but even less acreage than the fact that it's higher quality land than the ziburis, but it's, as we say, even less acreage because I'll be giving you that in terms of the high value of land at the high later on higher season. So the halacha, as far as the Gemara is concerned, says yes, the husband can call the shots. Whereas before we saw that the borrower could not call the shots. In those cases, the previous cases, the one who owed the money, the borrower could not call the shots. The mazik above was not able to call the shots. Those two examples of people who owed money were not allowed to call the shots. However, the husband who owes the money is entitled to call the shots. And the reason for that is a concept of there's more on that particular topic of tav lemeit of tandu milameisiv armelo, different phrases that indicate that the woman will not be, we'll say, deterred from getting married because the husband happens to have this right to call the shots. Mikol mokoim kashya. But as far as our topic is concerned, the resolution of Yoshev versus Meitav, that remains a question. Omar Rava. Rava answers, Kol de Yoshev Lei. When a person pays for damages, whatever he uses to pay, Mimeitav Lei Sivlei. If he's going to use Subin, he has to pay from top quality Subin. So that what Rava is saying is that we're aligning or combining Meitav with Subin. You can pay Subin. You can use anything that has value to offer as restitution for damages. But whatever you're using, even if it happens to be Subin, it must be Meitav. It must be high quality bran. The Gemara asks, "V'ha Meitav Sodeu Ksiv." If however the pasuk says the best quality of land, if Rava's answer is correct, then the pasuk didn't have to use the word Sodeu. The word Meitav would have been a general description of anything used to pay. Therefore, Rava's answer is deflected. Elo, he also Rav Papa of Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, Mibay Rav, Pirshua, when Rav Papa and Rav Huna came from the Bay Rav, the yeshiva, the place where people study Torah, they explain Pirshua. Kol Mili, all portables, Meitav Hu, can be described as Meitav. The E, Lo Mizdabin Hocha, Mizdabin Bimasa Chriti. By virtue of the fact that they're portables, if you can't sell it, whatever it is here, let's say you have bran, and you don't have any buyers for bran over here, you'll find buyers for the bran somewhere else. So that everything has cash value. Even if locally you can't actualize that aspect of the item, namely its cash value, you can do so somewhere else. Labar miyara, with the exception of land. Land is, by definition, not portable. And we want to make sure that the person gets his due restitution. How do we ensure that? The lace of Lemi Meitav, we give to him from top quality land. Kihechi de likvutza lo zvini, so that literally buyers jump upon it. In other words, so that we're working, of course, with the assumption, the given, that there are more buyers for high quality land. People are interested in that more than rocky, unarable land that we would call ziburis or even beninus. So that the term Meitav Sodehu, as we indicated before, the Torah says Sodehu, when it comes to land, there you have to offer top quality land as restitution. Otherwise, there's the fear that he's going to have a hard time converting the land into cash value. Therefore, the Torah, when it comes to land, has the word Meitav associated with Sodehu. However, all other means of payment, namely payment through portables, you are in effect paying him Meitav, high quality stuff, because everything, when it comes to portables, can be converted into cash value. Even if you have a hard time selling it here, you'll be able to sell it somewhere else. So that after all is said and done, there's no contradiction in the psukim. If you take a look at the Rashi in the middle of the wide section, Mizdabin b'masachrita, lachi lo ksiv meitav elo gabi sodos. And for this reason, since portables can be sold, if not here, somewhere else, the word meitav doesn't appear with regard to other means of payments, other than by fields, by land. V'hachi mitatzi kroi, and thusly we resolve the psukim. B'sodos yitei meitav. When you're paying for damage caused, there you have to pay for Meitav, only for Meitav. Uva metaltelin afilu subin. When it comes to payment in in terms of portables, there you can even use bran. And as the Gemara said, paying in bran is practically the same as paying meitav of land. Just like meitav of land, you'll find ready purchasers for it. Portables, also, you'll find ready purchasers for it. If not here, somewhere else. We turn back to the Gemara. Before we go on, we look at the side where we see a nosei topic heading. Sheila, a question is raised. Aliba de Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Kiva, we saw Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel arguing in terms of Meitav Sadeu. Who's Meitav? Rabbi Shmuel spoke in terms of Meitav of the Nizak, and Rabbi Kiva spoke in terms of Meitav of the Mazik. But when we speak about top quality lands, according to Rabbi Akiva, Bishelo Shaman, does that mean his own, the offender's own personal top quality of land? O Bishel Oilam Shaman, or is it the general top quality land of the Bishel Oilam, literally means of the world, but means that you will say the general area. You can have a situation where a specific individual has exceptionally valuable land. So much so that his Bainanus or Ziburis, even his cheapest quality land, is the same, is equal to the neighbors, all the other people's lands, top quality land. So if you say, Bishel Oilam Shaman, that evaluation of top quality is made in terms of the area and not the individual himself, you can have a situation where the mazik, the offender who owes the money, is not going to be paying his own top quality land. It will be sufficient for him to pay from his own ziburis, poor quality land, because it matches the area's top quality lands. Tshuvas Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba in our Gemara will answer Bishelo Shaman, that payment is made on a personal basis, regardless of what other people's lands are worth. So if the Mazik happens to have super duper high quality land, that is what he's going to have to pay with. Achakach HaGemara Tenasel Akshes Olav Umetaretzis Avuro. Later, the Gemara is going to try to challenge Rabbi Abba, and it will answer on his behalf. Achakach HaGemara Oimeres Hochinami Mistavra. And after that, the Gemara will say, and you know, Rabbi Abba's approach is most likely. It's most logical. L'tshuva Hochinami Mistavra L'tshuva Zu Al Yedei Stira Bein Brisos. The Gemara's point of Hochinami Mistabra, the logical or likely acceptance of Rabbi Abba, is based on a resolution of Tanaic sources. So that at that point in the Gemara, we're strengthening, we'll say, the answer given by Rabbi Abba. Avol HaGemara Chakach Matzia Oid Shalosh Yishuvim Lastira Sheinam Boyim L'Sayel Rabbi Abba. However, afterwards the Gemara will then introduce three additional resolutions of the contradiction of sources, but those resolutions of the contradiction will not serve as a support for Rabbi Abba. This is a rather standard Gemara structure where a particular answer is given. It's accepted by the Gemara. The Gemara then tries to say, Hachinami Mistabra. It's also a likely answer. But that point, the likelihood of the answer, based on a particular point, that ends up being rejected. But that doesn't mean that the opinion itself is rejected. All that's being rejected is the Gemara's attempt to support that answer. Now we turn to the Gemara. The Gemara opens with a question that lasts a number of lines. Take note of that. Ba mine Rav Shmuel bar Abba me'akronya. Akronya is the name of a place. So Rav Shmuel came from Akronya. Asks me Rabbi Abba, asks of Rabbi Abba a question, Kishen Shomin, when Shuma, Shomin means evaluation of property values. Kishen Shomin, when we come to evaluate, and we're talking about a Mazik needs to offer restitution. Bishelo, Hain Shomin, Oy Bishel Olam, Hain Shomin. Do we look in terms of his own properties? In isolation, in a vacuum, regardless of what value, what property qualities are in the vicinity, or do we look at property values in general? This question is not being raised according to Rabbi Shmuel. In other words, within the Tanaic opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, there's no issue here. The Omar b'Denizak Shaiminon. Rabbi Shmuel says evaluate what is made of in terms of the properties that the victim owns. So, according to Rabbi Shmuel, all we do is we look at what does the victim own. He might have several property values that, to him, he's got top, middle, and lowest quality properties. And as far as the Mazik's obligations, all the Mazik has to do is come up with property that is similar in quality to the victim's best quality. And as we said before, it could very well be that the Mazik has very poor quality property, but as far as the victim is concerned, that's his best quality. So the Mazik would be able to pay with his own cheapest quality, poorest quality property. So that's not a discussion. That's not something that we have any doubt about. When the question is being raised, Aliba Rabbi Kiva, the question is raised within the opinion of Rabbi Kiva Diomar, but the Mazik Shemin Rabbi Kiva used the expression, or we should say we used the expression in conjunction with Rabbi Kiva, but the Mazik Shemin, and evaluations are made in terms of the offender's property qualities. And to present a concrete example, we'll tell you that the cheapest quality land that this Mazik has is equal to the best quality land of the Olam, of all other landholders. My, what does Rabbi Kiva expect? What is his position? Meitav Sodeum Rachmona, the Torah says Meitav Sodeu, Lemute, the Nizak, simply to the exclusion of the Nizak, that we don't look in terms of the victim's best quality. But as far as evaluating best quality, whatever constitutes best quality of the surrounding environs, that's good enough. Even if the Mazik happens to have even better stuff, that's irrelevant. All the Torah is telling me, Meitav Sodeu, pay in terms of top quality land, without focusing on the victim per se, but the what's considered top quality in the eyes of the general public. Oy, Dilmore, maybe the Mute Dalmanami, when the Torah says Meitav Sodeu, it's to the exclusion of everyone else, and only the Meitav of the Mazik is what is of interest to us. That what the Mazik pays must be from his own top quality land. Even if his own poor quality land is equal to everyone else's top quality land, he can't get away with paying from his ziburis. Because, according to possibility, Bayes, the Posuk Meitav Sodeu was Limute de Almanabi. He has to pay from his own top quality land. Even though it far surpasses the top quality land of everyone else. Omar Lay, Rabbi Abba answers, Rachmona Omar, Meitav Sodehu. The Torah says, the top quality of his land. The Torah is very clear as far as Rabbi Abba is concerned. The one who has to pay the Mazik's top quality land. And you're raising as a possibility that evaluation would be in terms of other people's lands. Absolutely not. As far as Rabbi Abba is concerned, the Torah is clear in saying Mazik must pay from his own top quality land. Eisvei, we raise a question. Notice, this question is a lengthy question. It takes us a number of lines down the top of Daf Ches Omed Aleph. The Gemara presents a Tanaic source. We've broken the Tanaic source down into several subsections. We've numbered them using Roman numerals 1 through 5. If you skip to the top of Daf Ches Omed Aleph, the second line from the top, Kotoni Miha, and this is standard procedure. We have a lot of details in a Tanaic source, but you only need one aspect, one point in the source. The Gemara oftentimes focuses you and says, Kotoni Miha, it however said in this source, case number 4, Kotoni Miha Metzia, Beinanis Viziburis, etc. and so forth. We have to wait till we get to that in order to appreciate what their question is. But it's going to be, the question will be based on section 4 of this multiple section Tanaic source. So, what's the story here? Eisvei. Ein lo ela. Case situation one is a person has only idis, and he owes money for damages, for loans that he took out, and for a woman that he divorced. So there's three types of debts. We've mentioned in passing, let's just review that which to some might be obvious. Nezikin damage payments are made from top quality land. Loans are paid to lenders from middle quality, Beinonis quality land. Women's ksubos are paid from poor quality land. That's all fine and good if the man who owes the respective debts has three qualities of land. Let us say someone has only idis quality land, top quality land. So, kulam goyvin min idis, all the debts that he has are paid from idis. Likewise, beinanis, if all that he has is beinanis quality land, kulam goyvin beinanis, all the debts, the nezik and the baal chov and the ksubas ish are paid from the beinanis. Ziburis, if all he has is ziburis quality lands, kulam goyvin ziburis. Then all collect from ziburis. That might seem fairly obvious, so be it. We're not here to focus on case one. Case number two. Hoyulo, this person that carries with him three debts that we already mentioned. And this too will be very obvious. He has idis, beinis, ziburis. He has three levels of land quality. Nezikin, beidis, the damage debts that he has are paid from idis. Ubalchov, payback of loans that he took out, the Beinanis, and Ksubas Isha, the woman that he just divorced, and gets her Ksuba payment, Biziburis, from the poor quality land. So sections 1 and 2 are fairly straightforward. Let us say, Idis Beinanis, this is all the person has. He has Idis quality and Beinanis quality. Nezikin, Beidis, the debts for damage that he caused, they're paid from his idis quality. And Balchov, Uksubasisha, Bebeinanis. The Balchov gets what's coming to him anyway by letter of the law, the Beinanis. The Uksubasisha, she'll get Beinanis too. He doesn't have any Ziburis quality. His Beinanis is his least quality land. Case 4. Beinanis, Viziburis. Nezikin, Ubalchov, Bebeinanis. The victim of damage that he has to pay, the nezek payment, is from his beinanis, and the debts that he owes are paid from beinanis. Uksubas isha, she gets what she has coming to her by letter of the law, Ziburis. We continue at the top of Daf Ches. It is Viziburis. Here, the fellow has the two extreme qualities, no middle qualities. Got Idis and Ziburis. Nezikin be'idis, u'balchoy v'ksubas isha be'ziburis. Kotoni miha metzia. Section, metzia means in the middle section, more specifically, section 4. It said, beinanis v'ziburis, if a man has middle quality and poor quality lands. Nezikin u'balchov be'beinanis v'ksubas isha be'ziburis. Ve'i amris b'shelo hein shomin. If, as you, Rabbi Abba, said, that land values are, let's call it subjective, based on what you have, based on what the person who owes the money has. If that's the case, if it's subjective, Ta'ase beinanis shelo ke'idis. Why would we not view this fellow's beinanis as idis, as top quality? After all, his beinanis to him is his best quality. And if we're going to view beinanis as his beinanis as his top quality, v'yidche balchoy v'etzel ziburis. The balchov, the borrower, is not entitled to collect idis. Maximum, the balchov is entitled to collect the level under that. And in this case, the balchov would get ziburis. But the source doesn't say that. So from here you see that we don't look at things in a subjective personal fashion, but rather we look on the, we'll say, the world level. And on the world level, so this guy who has Beinus Ziburis, obviously the Nezikin can't get any more than he has, so he gives the Nezikin get Beinus, but the Balchov also gets Beinus, because that's what a Balchov has coming to him, certainly on a world level basis. All Balchovs are entitled to Beinus. This guy happens to have Beinus. Ah, this person's Beinus is his own top quality. That doesn't interest us. Why? Because we don't evaluate like Rabbi Abba said, but rather we evaluate in b'shel oylom hein shamin. The Gemara rejects this and says, "I will tell you that that basically b'sheloi shamin, like Rabbi Abba said. If that's the case, so how is the balchov getting beinonis?" Here, what are we talking about? This debtor, this borrower, he happened to have idis at the time he took out the loan. He had idis. Being that that's the case, the middle quality land of this borrower became a lien was formed upon his middle quality land. The lender, since at the time that the loan was extended, this borrower happened to have top quality land, and the lender is not entitled to that. What happened? The lender developed a lien, got a lien on the borrower's Beinunis. Oh, so when the time came to pay up the debt, the Balchov is entitled to get Beinunis. Does this contradict the idea of B'shelo Hein Shomin? No, it doesn't. It doesn't contradict that, because because B'shelo Hein Shomin in this case does not make the guy's Beinunis, the borrower's Beinunis, his top quality. Why? Because when he took out the loan, he actually had something better. He had idis. In the meantime, he sold it. But since at the time the borrower borrowed the money at a point that he had the idis, the lender got a lien on the einonis, and that's what has to be paid. V'chein omar Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda said likewise that b'shalo hein shalom, like Rabbi Abba, that evaluations are subjective. And if that's the case, why is this Baal Chov entitled to get the Beinonis? Because the borrower, at the time that he took out the loan, he became indebted, he happened to have Idis, top quality land. And now we make a point. The point lasts several lines, that's why I have a long point marking. Hachi Nami Mistabra. It's also likely that this is the case. Midikotoni achriti. There's an outside, another brisa, another Tanaic source, same circumstances, Beinonis v'Ziburis. Notice, these are the same circumstances. You can, with the markings, it's so easy to navigate. All you do is you compare this to what you saw in the third line from the top, where we quoted section 4 of our previous source. Beinonis v'Ziburis, same circumstances, Nezikin b'Beinonis. And note the drastic change. Baal Chov, uksuvas isha b'Ziburis, kashin adodi. Now we have we would seem to have a contradiction in sources. The diamond before highlighted Baal Chov, and the diamond here also highlights Baal Chov. So how can it be that in the source above, we're going to refer to that as Aleph? Do you notice on the third line from the top, right near the diamond, we have it Aleph, and here we have this second diamond base. This will make it easier for us later to relate to the resolution of this contradiction. So how is it that in the source above, which was labeled Aleph, the Baal Chov was getting Beinonis, and here the Baal Chov is getting Ziburis? Notice we used a dashed underline to enable you to connect Baal Chov to the payment he's getting. Source Aleph, Baal Chov was getting Beinonis. Source Beis, Baal Chov is getting Ziburis. How do we explain that? Elolav Shmamino. So the resolution is as follows. And by the way, this house marking is introducing resolutions. So the first resolution is Kan Shoisolo Idisu Mochra, where the Baal Chov, where the borrower had money. Sorry, he had Idis and sold it. He had it at the time of the loan. He had Idis. There the Baal Chov gets the Beinonis. That was the Aleph source. Kan, the Beis source, where the Baal Chov gets Ziburis, that's Shelo Hoysolo Idis Umochra. The borrower never had any Idis. Oh, if the borrower never had any Idis, this borrower, what does he have? Beinonis and Ziburis. What's the lender going to get? Well, since we look at things on a subjective basis, b'sheloi hein shamin, the Beinonis becomes his Idis, and a Baal Chov is not entitled to Idis quality land, so the Baal Chov gets Ziburis. So what you see then is a support. That's what the Hochi Nami Mistabra expression says. We are hereby supporting the resolution, and thereby strengthening, let me say this again. I've said something inaccurate. Hochina Mistabra comes to strengthen Rabbi Abba's answer that b'shelo hein shamin. And how do we strengthen Rabbi Abba's answer? Through the resolution between contradictory sources. However, as we go along on in the Gemara, the Eboyes Eimo, this Eboyes Eimo is going to offer an alternative way of resolving the contradiction between the sources. So being that it's an alternative way of resolving the contradiction, we no longer can simply say Hochi Nami Mistabra. That doesn't mean that we are rejecting Rabbi Abba's legal ruling of b'shelo hein shamin according to Rabbi Akiva, but we don't have the luxury of saying hochi nami mistabra through the resolution of the Tanaic sources that we suggested at stage one. So we go on to stage two. And on the side of the Gemara, we've explained these house markings, the Mivneh. These are the Adalid Shuvos, the Yashav Stira Bamakoros, Binyan Vias Balchov, Mibaininus, Omibazubas. Four approaches to resolve the contradiction in sources regarding the lender's ability to collect from, is it Baininus or Zivuris? So we continue with the second approach, B-boy Esemo, Edi V-Edi, both Tanaic sources, both Aleph and Beis, Shelo, Hoysolo, Edis, Umachra. Now, in either case, did the borrower have Edis and sold it, Velo, Kashya. And so there's no contradiction, and here, courtesy of Rashi, this very important point is added, and everyone holds, both source Aleph and Beis, hold, Bishel Oilom Shomin. Now that is not like Rabbi Abba. So then, what's the resolution? Ha deshavio beinanis shelo ki'idis di'almo, v'kan delo shavio beinanis shelo ki'idis di'almo. And notice, when you have pronouns like these words, ha and kan, you have to know what they're referring to. We have sources above Aleph and Beis. They need to be resolved. So we say that source Beis, which gives the Balchov only Ziburis, that's because the Shavya Beinanis Shaloi Kidis Dalma. This fellow's Beinanis is the same as everyone else's Idis. And we are sensitive to Bishel Oilam according to this approach. We look at the world's land reckoning. And this guy's Beinanis in world terms is like Idis. If it's like world, it's like Idis in world terms, the Balchov is not entitled to that. He therefore collects Ziburis. That's what we saw in case Beis. V'kan in Aleph, the lo shavya Beinanis shelo ki Idis dalma. This guy's Beinanis is not like everyone else's Idis, but it's like everyone else's Beinanis. And that's why the Balchov gets Beinanis, which is what he has coming to him according to letter of the law. A third resolution of this of the contradictory diamond sources, Edi V'Edi, Kagoin, Shoisa Beinanis Shelo, Kabeinanis Dialma. Both sources have his Beinanis like everyone else's Beinanis. And there was no Edis at the outset either. So what's the point of contention here? These two sources are actually arguing on this very point. Mar Sovar, Bishelo, Hain, Shaman. Source Beis looks at land in terms of himself, Bishelo, his own properties. And in this case, in Source Beis, what did the fellow have? Just like in Source Aleph, he had Beinis and Ziburis. But Bishelo, Hain, Shaman means, on a personal level, his Beinanis is really his Idis. Now, if the Beinanis that he has, it's true, it's the same as the Beinanis quality of everyone else, but on his personal, according to his own personal situation, that's his best stuff. And therefore, the ruling in Beis is the borrower pays with Ziburis. The lender collects only Ziburis, because the Beinanis is the borrower's top quality, and the lender's not entitled to that. Source Aleph, though, Omar Sovar Bishel Oilam Hein Shaman. Land is looked at in terms of everyone else's land values, land qualities. And therefore, the fellow that has Beinanis and Ziburis, Beinanis that he has is looked at as everyone else's Beinanis. It's true that for him it's his top quality, but conclusion in terms of payment is made in terms of Oilam, and therefore the Baal Chayv, the lender, is entitled to receive Beinanis. So that sources Aleph and Beis, they're not contradictory, rather they're arguing in terms of how do we evaluate things on a personal level or in terms of a general level. Ravina Omar Bideula Pligi. Notice this is a long marking. Ravina says that the two sources are arguing whether or not to accept Ula's approach. Diyama Ula. The double underline is used to contrast here the what we call the Dvar Torah approach and a Rabbonin, a rabbinic approach. All, of course, in terms of Ula. Ula says, Dvar Torah, that means on a strictly Torah level, on a Doraisa level, Balchov Beziburis, a lender of money is entitled to collect, if it's in terms of land, no more than the poorest quality land. And how do we know that that's the Torah's attitude? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, when it comes to the borrower's dealings with the lender, and the lender is seeking collateral for payment, he's seeking some type of, we'll say, security for payment. It says, Bachutz Tamod, the lender stands outside, and the person from whom you're trying to collect your payment, he will bring from within his house the avoit, the collateral that will serve as a means of payment. What is the way of people to when they're under duress, or as they're forced to pay? They have to pay. The person owes money, so everyone has to pay. So what's the way of people when they make payments to pay that which they're obligated to pay? People will take out their least value articles. So that the Torah understands that payment can be made from the cheapest, from the poorest item that a person has. Why do the rabbis say that a balchov, a lender of money, is entitled to receive middle quality? So as to avoid a situation where the doors of loans are not locked in the face of borrowers. In order to encourage people to lend money, we do so by telling the lenders, you know, you're going to get as repayment of the loan that you extend, middle quality land. In other words, the rabbi said that if we're going to leave things at the purely Torah level, we won't have sufficient incentive on the part of lenders to extend loans. So let's have them get paid back with Beinonis quality. That's Ula's analysis. That's Ula's approach. More is le takanta de Ula. Source Aleph, where the Baal Chov was receiving Beinonis. Well, that's in accordance with Ula's takana, Ula's ruling. Umor lesle takanta de Ula. Source Beis doesn't accept Ula's analysis and therefore leaves lender payback in Torah terms, meaning the ziburis quality, and that's what you saw in Diamond Beis. Balchov was receiving ziburis. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.